practicing what to come to him and worship him, even though he's not happy already. So when we are given an opportunity to praise the Lord, let us praise him with all our heart. There's no reservation, there's no pretense, there's no evil motives. We come to the Lord because we worship him out of our free will, out of our own desire to praise him. Why we need to praise the Lord? I will give you this morning reasons why. But before that, we'll go to this passage of scripture. We'll read this from verse number 1 to verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 to 7. So we will read this all together, or we will read responsibly. Again, I'll read verse number 1, you respond verse number 2. Verses 1 to 7, responsive reading. I'll start reading now from verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, to the
sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, preserved in heaven for you,
who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Verse number 7.
That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, once again for this passage of scripture. Help us, Lord, to understand that the trials of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Lord, thank you that we have this encouragement before us, so that, Lord, when we face trials and afflictions and hardships and difficulties in life, we can face them, O God, through your grace, through your strength. And help us, Lord, strengthen us, enable us, Lord, to live righteously, to live godly in this present world. Do not allow us, Lord, to be drifted away from the truth of the gospel. Do not allow us, Lord, to be deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. And also, Lord, help us to stand strong, to be steadfast in the faith, that are looking forward for the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that it will be in our hearts. We will prepare ourselves as he also prepares our place. When he comes, Lord, we will rejoice together. Bless, Lord, your people, and I pray that the salvation of Brother Hill Sanchez this morning will be the beginning of his walk with you, and I pray, God, that he will grow in his faith, and Lord, continue to grow all of us and all your people, Lord, strengthen them in their faith, so that, Lord, when you come and when we see you, we will not be ashamed. Bless all of us this morning. Thank you for the beautiful song of the choir. Thank you, Lord, for the efforts and the time that we have prepared. And Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people in this church. We commit you our service this morning. Guide me, Lord, also, and touch my mouth and my lips. And Lord, cover me with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen in our services, not myself or anyone, but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be seen by the people. Thank you, Father, once again. Give us victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul writing to the Jewish believers. Although, you know, the scholars have argued about this, who are these people that he is really writing to. But he wrote to Jewish believers who were struggling. They were struggling in the midst of persecution in those times. Perhaps it was the time of Nero. But again, there are struggles, not just in those times of Apostle Peter, and I believe the struggles that the Christians face in those times will also be the same struggles that you and I can face in our own time today. Maybe right now we are at ease in our Christian life. There's not much persecution happening. There's no closing down of churches. There's no chastening of believers. You're gonna see really any persecution physically. But again, there will be time maybe in the future to come that we will go through the harshest and hardest of persecutions that Christians may encounter in the future. But here, Apostle Peter, writing his letter to encourage them, to encourage the people to conduct themselves righteously, joyfully, to conduct themselves godly for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of these things will come and go. All of these things will be the thing of the past. But the most important thing is what is our position when we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming and facing him face to face. So the persecution of the time of Apostle Peter can be of the same measure that we will go through in this last days. But again, the persecution that will happen to us can cause either to grow for our growth or for our discouragement. Or we become bitter in our Christian life. And the response that we have for this persecution and hardship and trials will determine the result. And that is the hope here that we face unto the people, that when there is persecution, you know, hold on to our Christian walk. Hold on to our Christian life. And do not trade our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for anything. Do not trade our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for money, for pleasure, or for anyone, for favor, or for a political position, or for any positions in this world. Do not trade your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever things that will come our way. This is Apostle Peter was telling his disciples, our people also, in his writing. But you understand also, Apostle Peter was a man himself, had trouble with his old temper. He was not as perfect. So the more you know Apostle Peter, the more you know yourself. He was also a man who had trouble with his temptation. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And that cock grew because of that. And just as what the Lord Jesus Christ had said beforehand. And Apostle Peter also was having trouble with his tongue. Now, the more you know this man, the more you know Apostle Peter, the more also we learn that, oh, we are just like the same as Apostle Peter. He's no special person really about us, but we are all the same. We go through the same temptations in life. We go through the same temper. We go through the same mistakes of our words, of our deeds, and our decisions. And the same thing, Apostle Peter also experienced the same thing. And this Apostle Peter, he wrote this letter to believers, as mentioned here in verse number 2. Notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. Obedience, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You know, the highlight of this writing of Peter, as you can see in the book of 1 Peter, is the proper response. This is what he was like focusing on, the proper response to Christian suffering. And this is what we hope for. Every mother, every father, every pastor will hope that our children in the faith or our children in the flesh will also hold on to their Christian faith despite what's going on and what's going to happen in their surroundings, in their circumstances. And here, Apostle Peter, knowing that his readers will be facing more and more persecutions than ever before. And I feel like he's saying, there might be more persecutions coming our way. There might be more persecutions, not just here in Auckland or all over New Zealand. There will be more persecutions for Christians all over the world. And here, I think this letter is very much appropriate in our time today. Peter wrote this letter to give the people of God, the Christians, the right perspective, a divine perspective, a right set of mind, facing forward, moving forward, stepping into the unknown, and to endure without wavering in the faith. And that is a victory there. That when we go through trials, when we go through persecutions and afflictions in life, and whatever things that will come our way, we will not waver in our faith. We will continue, you know, in our moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, and His cause, and seeking the salvation of others, helping others to learn to know Christ. Again, that is our desire, and I hope that is also every parent's desire, every Sunday school teacher's desire, every mature Christian's desire, that we will be able to encourage people who are going through trials and afflictions without them leaving off the faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning, we will see three reasons why. That despite the trials of life, we can still praise the Lord. We can still sing glory to God. We can still, you know, give God the glory of the circumstances that we are going through. And we can still give God the victory in our lives. Why? First of all, it's because of our lively hope. We have a lively hope. We have a living hope. God has given us a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. First Peter chapter 1 again, verse number 3 this time. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. This lively hope, what is this lively hope? It's because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where the hope, you know, that we are holding on. Because as Jesus Christ rose from the grave, so also each person that believes in Christ will also rise from the grave. In other words, there is no more power for hell for us. There's no power of death for us. If we die in this flesh, we are not dead. We are just sleeping because we have Christ. But those people who die in the flesh without Christ, they are dead. And they will die again. But for all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are just sleeping. And one day, the Lord Jesus Christ will arrive with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and He will wake those people up, those who are in the grave who believe in Christ before they die. And He will say to them, come forth! Just as He called Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth! The same call Jesus Christ will call on those people who die in their faith. And for all of us, if the Lord Jesus Christ will arrive today, He will also call us, come forth, and we will see Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, we have this lively hope. This is a living hope. That is why I rejoice. That is why I am not so much affected with this coronavirus. I am not so much affected with the poverty, maybe. I am not so much affected with the hardship in life. Why? Because I'm not looking unto these present times. I'm looking at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our living hope. If your hope is upon economy, you will be heartbroken. If your hope is upon your money and upon, you know, things in this world, you will be distressed. You will go panic when recession will strike. You will go panic. Why? Because your hope isn't there. But if your hope is upon the Lord Jesus Christ and is coming, this won't matter. These things that we will go through will not really matter. Because we already know the end. We already know what's going to happen in the future. We have a lively hope. Now, we can contrast this with the people who do not have Christ. We can contrast ourselves. Perhaps these people, some of them are very wealthy, some of them are very money people. They can have all the money in the world. They have all the properties in the world. They have all these businesses. They have all these royalties and all this money and restaurants and hotels. They have all these cars. They have all these yachts and boats and cruise ships. They have all these travelings. They have all of these things in the world. But we can contrast ourselves, you know, with these people without Christ. What they have is they actually do not have real hope. They do not have real hope. We have the real hope, but they do not have that real hope. If you ask them, if they die today, and ask them whether they will go to heaven when they die, vast majority of them will say, I don't know. They don't really know. That is why they are scared to death. When things change, they will be scared. When stock market change, when there is like a big hump there, they are scared. Because they are scared they will lose their money. I remember again, I keep on saying this to you, Adolf Merkel, if you go there and search the thing, Adolf Merkel was a billionaire in Germany. And he died a billionaire because he lost in that recession in 2008. He lost, I think, more than $6 billion. And that's the big loss that he had in one day. But again, he was still a billionaire. He was number 40, if I remember, 48 in the billionaires list, number 48. When recession strikes, he dropped to number 96. But he's still a billionaire. What he did, knowing that he lost a lot of money, he went to the train station, and in that train station, no one knows, you know, just like an ordinary man, but with the train coming, he jumped into the train, to the rail, died, and later was found that he was Adolf Merkel, the billionaire, the tycoon in Germany. He died with an asset maybe nearly $10 billion. Wow. Money don't give us peace. Money don't give you happiness, as you may think that this will give you security. No, it won't. Love of money is the root of evil. The Bible says, while some committed after, they have given from the way and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That is what money will bring to you if money is your hope. We have a living hope. Other people, they do not have real hope. They do not know when death comes to them that heaven is their home. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. The Bible says that at the time ye were without Christ. Before I got saved, I was also without Christ. The same is true with you. Before we got saved, we do not know Christ. We do not have God in our life. The Bible says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why? Because they do not know the promise of God. They do not know the plans of God. They do not know the peace of God. All these people, because in this world, they themselves do not have God. And that is the reason. They have no hope in this world. If they have no God, they have no real hope. If they put their hopes in money, in stock market, if they put their hopes in their properties, if they put their hope in their skills and their profession, they have no real hope. But some of the people also, they have hope, but again, it's false hope. It's false hope. Some of them will say, I think I go to heaven because I go to church. I think I go to heaven because I am raised in a Christian home. I think I go to heaven because I'm not so sinful. People are like this. They have their own thinking of how they can get to heaven because of all these reasons. But if they have this as their hope, they have a false hope. Because they will not go to heaven because they are raising a Christian hope. They are not going to heaven because they are not so sinful like those people in the jail. I will tell you, there are more sinful people outside of jail than those people, sinful people in jail. They will not go to heaven because they go to church. No, people will go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And they miss that. When they miss that, they miss it very, greatly. And that will cost them eternity in hell. If they miss the Lord Jesus Christ in that hope. It is the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope of eternal life in heaven. So any people thinking that they're Christian and they can go to heaven without Christ, that is a false hope because it could happen. And Proverbs 11, verse number 7, this will happen to those people who do not have real hope. Those people who do not have real hope, or those people who have false hope, this is what happened. When a wicked man died, his expectation or his hope, his expectation of future or hope of the future shall perish. And the hope of unjust men perisheth. People that have no hope or people that have false hope or whichever way, all of them will end up in the same place that they don't want to be, place that they don't like to think about. And that is a place called hell. Because only Jesus Christ, in John chapter 3, verse number 36, there's only one reason there why people will go to hell. And there's only one reason there why people will go to heaven. It's laid down in the scripture. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Why it's hard to understand? Why for them is so bad? Why it's for them is so obscure? How to get to heaven? He that hath the Son, he that believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son. It doesn't say he that killeth someone. He that raped someone. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. In John chapter 3, verse number 18, it's not about our good deeds and bad deeds, and God will weigh which one is the heavier. If your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds, then you will go to heaven. That is not the way. Why? Because there's no more weighing there. Right now is judgment. If you do not have Christ right now, you are dead. And if you die in the flesh, you will go to heaven. Right now. Because already God said already the judgment. He said here, he that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned to go to hell. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You do not have to wait until you die and before God will judge where you go. Right now, God already has a judgment. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right now, while you are still alive. I don't know why this is hard to understand. The scripture is very clear. Jesus Christ is our only hope. In John 14, verse number 6. John 14, verse number 6. Jesus Christ said unto them, I am the way. He did not say, I am a way. Or otherwise, there will be another way. But he said, I am the way. There is no other way. Going to heaven is only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Papa Mary will not be part of it. Apostle Peter will not be part of it. Apostle Paul will not be part of it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Your good works will not be part of it. Your striving, to repent all your sins will not be part of it. Your works to clean up your life with every part of it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Any people that will think otherwise, they have is either no hope or false hope. But again, false hope or no hope will end up in the same place. Because, not because I said it, it's because God said it already. Now, as we contrast that to those people without Christ, we can also contrast this with the people that have Christ. Those people that Apostle Peter was talking to, those people that Apostle Peter was teaching this truth from the Word of God. And what is the hope of Peter? The hope of Peter is that Christ is alive. The Lord Jesus has risen from the grave. That is the greatest hope. Because if our Savior is still in the grave today, I'll tell you, coming here this morning is a waste of time. If our Savior is still in the grave today, giving your tithes and offering, you better give it to Red Cross or to Salvation Army. I think becoming more useful. Because right here in this church, we preach that Jesus Christ is alive, and every person that will come to Christ will also be living with Him. And if that is not true, then all of us will be all bad liars. We are all miserable. That is what the Bible says. But Jesus Christ is alive. That is why we have this greatest hope. We have this greatest hope in us. Romans chapter 1, verse number 4. Romans chapter 1, verse number 4. I'm declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It is because last Sunday we celebrated, the world celebrates Easter Sunday. I didn't understand what they're celebrating. They're celebrating Easter Bunny and Easter Egg. But we celebrate that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That one Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, our Savior, conquered death. When He died on the cross and He was buried and then He rose again, death is dead.
Amen.
Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 56. Bible says, verse number 55. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ conquered that death, when He rose from the grave, death and hell is dead. And you see here, that is the reason why we have this hope, because the Savior that saved us is alive. Christ is alive. And because of that, our salvation is guaranteed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He rose, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, although the greater part remained unto this day. Here the Lord Jesus Christ was seen by His people in those times that He was alive. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive until today. And because of that, we have also our own similar resurrection. If the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave, we also will be risen from the grave in our own time. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, verse number 20. Bible says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. I hope that you and I today belong to Christ. I hope that you and I acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because if we do, then we are Christ. We belong to Christ at His coming. There is an order or appointment of our own resurrection. Romans 8:10. Romans chapter 8, verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is what's going to happen to us in the future. If the Lord Jesus Christ starts His coming and we will be dead in the flesh, then because of the Holy Spirit that we accepted Christ in that moment, 1993, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. that Holy Spirit will remain in me. If I die without seeing the rapture, while I'm alive, I will be in the grave. But while I am in the grave, when Jesus Christ comes back, he will wake me up. And that spirit that raised Christ when he died and rose again, that spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same spirit that raised me up from the dead, that is the same power of the Holy Spirit. That is why we have this lively hope. We have this living hope. Secondly, not just a lively hope, but also we have our lasting inheritance. Inheritance that is not of this world. My father and my mother passed away already, and we have properties to be divided among siblings. We have properties there that we need to sort out and be divided and distributed among us. And again, those inheritance is nothing in comparison to what Jesus Christ will be given to us at the resurrection. When the Lord Jesus Christ will take us to heaven, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, God has given us lasting inheritance. This is not ordinary, this is not temporal. The Bible says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And heaven is eternal. And therefore, our inheritance is eternal. I believe Apostle Peter was saying, Apostle Peter was the son of a poor fisherman. They were poor people in those times. They were not able to go to school because they were poor family. And Apostle Peter was one of those poor fishermen. And he was the son of a poor fisherman. And again, his earthly inheritance perhaps would have been small. Not really big. Not really something that, you can rely for the rest of your life. And only small amount. But again, when he had those inheritance from his parents, he left all of those inheritance. Even though that's small, but he left all to follow Christ. That's what he said, and confessed to the Lord Jesus, Lord, we left all and follow thee. Although it was only small, even he left in that small inheritance, perhaps the friends of Apostle Peter, perhaps the relatives, perhaps the people who know them, perhaps their neighbors was wondering about this. Why he left all and then follow Christ? I think it's a wrong decision to follow Christ. I think it's a wrong decision to leave all your trade, your business, and your career, and you leave all of that because of Christ. And people maybe was asking, what's wrong with Peter? What's wrong with this guy? Doesn't he have any thought of his future? Then what about his wife? What about his children? Why is that clinging on and strive to be a good Christian at the same time make money? So all these questions perhaps were raised because of the decisions of Peter to leave all because of Christ. But again, Peter saw this. Peter realizes that he had a great inheritance ahead, and that one inheritance that he has in heaven, one that is incorruptible, it won't decay, and one that is undefiled, that is pure, one that will not fade away, one that is reserved in heaven. That is the reason why he left all and will not think about all of them. Because Apostle Peter knew that he had a great inheritance ahead of him. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, all of us, we are perishing people among perishing things. These things that we see, all of this will be dissolved. This building will go. The houses that we are living in will be dissolved, will be melted with fervent heat. The companies that we are working will be gone. The airports, the airplanes, all of them will be dissolved. This earth will be melted will be perfect in when the Lord Jesus Christ finished all these works. That is why we have to understand all this. This world will be melted. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervency. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We are supposed to be the most godly people. Because we know all these things will just be put behind. And all of this will be destroyed. And now, the sad thing is, we are deceived by these material things. And we devote a lot of our times, a lot of our talents, a lot of our our treasure into these things. Monday to Friday and Saturday, we are all occupied with these things. The things in this world is, the things that in this world dictated our activities and also dictated our life. We have the Bible and we have the apostles, we have the writings of the apostles telling us to shift from that. Take off your eyes from these material things. Take off your eyes from these temporal things and set your eyes on the things above. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2. Verse number 1 to start with is good. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affections on things above, because these things on the earth can just be forever destroyed. That is why we have to realize all the time that we are a people, a perishing people among perishing things. But in Christ, we do not perish. In the Lord Jesus, our inheritance will remain forever. That is why we have to set our affections on things above. What are the things above? The Bible is things above. The hope in Jesus Christ is things above. Salvation of souls. I'm glad today we have one soul repented, and I believe heavens rejoice because of one sinner that comes to repentance. That is the thing about. And again, the Bible is the thing about. The church is again a thing of heaven. We have to think of things above. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not perish. Our livelihood, our lasting inheritance. Lastly here, our lifetime protection given by God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. God has given us a lifetime of powerful protection. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God. And that is a powerful, powerful giving. Because no one can keep us powerful enough in this world. But that is the power of God. We are guarded by His might. We are guarded by His power. In John chapter 10, it says here, and the Father which gave to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. That is the power of God. He is keeping us into His hand, and also the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our God and our Lord in heaven cares for us every single day. If I am still alive today, it is only because God cares for me. We drove from Wellington coming this way, I'll tell you it's not easy. We left the happy around 5 hours away from here. And as I drove, the rains started pouring and the visibility is not easy. The road is not really easy. To drive, I cannot slow down too. At the same time, I need to be very watchful of the road, the conditions of the road. Because we are still 5 hours away. And it was already 6 o'clock in the evening. And I have children with me, I have all my family with me, Brother Julius and Brother Jerry's family, all of us. But by God's grace, we survive in that. Only by God's grace. It is His care that keeps us alive every day. God keeps us safe every day. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. For His compassion faileth us. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. He provides power to overcome temptation. And even our testings and trials are temporary. In 1 Peter again, go back to our text, verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Remember, these are people who are in temptations. These are people who are in hardship and trials. And still, deep within their hearts, they rejoice in the Lord. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The time of our faith is more precious than gold. We have problems now. Hold on to the faith because there will be praise later. Now in conclusion, the Apostle Peter in the end praises the Lord. He blessed the Lord with all his heart, his mind, and his life. He blessed the Lord in view of his living hope. Despite of the persecution that he went through in his life, despite of the hardship, despite of the temptations to retaliate the government, but he didn't. But despite of all those, Apostle Peter blesses the Lord in view of his living hope because he has a lasting inheritance and because of his lifetime protection from God. We have our lifetime protection from God given to us. The Lord will protect us. That doesn't mean that we will not, experience problems. We will experience problems. We will experience hardship. We will still experience maybe sickness. But above all these things, God already set, the blessings upon us. We already know the end. We have so many good reasons to praise the Lord. And I hope that you can find good reasons to praise the Lord too. I hope that deep within your heart, you know that what are those things that we need to praise the Lord. Oh Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that we can still come to church. Lord, thank you that we have the Bible. Lord, thank you that we have these people in the church to encourage us, to encourage everyone. Lord, thank you that you have provided us our needs. Lord, thank you that we are still healthy today. Lord, thank you that... Oh, I will tell you, we have many, many reasons to praise the Lord. We have a lot of reasons to thank the Lord. What is that in your heart? Maybe a good reason to praise the Lord. I encourage you, with that blessing that you receive, praise the Lord. Because our God deserves the praises from our God and from our heart. Let's go ahead and pray.